All right, Miss Carrie, our first recording, not live. We are not live. We're just strictly recording. So this is, and we're on brand new platform stuff. So we have no idea what we're doing, what this is going to like. We're just going to roll the dice.
Yep. I like it.
You know, it's different, right? I'm like, okay, what are all these things on the screen? What all does this thing do? I'm super excited because one of the things that this platform offers is like an AI section. And so it will automatically pull out like things that it thinks is funny. So it helps with editing. So I'm like, I'm curious, like after we get done with one, what it will look like and how I get to play with it and do all the fun things that get to go on in the background.
Yay.
I know. So I'm going to be like,
okay, you do that. Yeah. That's you. I'm like, just make it work.
Just make it work, Becca.
Yeah. Make it work.
So this episode is, and I don't know, I thought I had named it, but now I don't know where that is even on the screen. I thought it was, valor and victory, right? So like, that is the focal point. I'm just going to put that out there, valor and victory. And then, we're just going to kind of talk about the last couple weeks, some things that came up, very organically and encourage organic conversations, really. Like that's really what we're trying to do here. Get you guys into an organic way of thinking. So Miss Carrie, I'm going to turn it over to you. It's your turn.
All right. So basically this kind of came up because we talked about Judy, Linda, and Karen last week, right? And naturally, as people are watching it, and then I started to kind of watch it back and just pick things up, I thought, you know, did we really touch on like what that Karen character is, right? I think we talked a lot about Judgy Judy, and even like, hey, listen, Linda, you know, we talked about that. But Karen was just more of like, it just stuck out to me, like this just person who inserts themselves, who's kind of always got a victim mentality, just kind of negative, Nancy, just all the yuck. And so I wanted to make sure that we kind of described that and explained that in a way, you know, that people understood. But as that conversation was happening with Becca and I was like, oh yes, like who isn't a victim? You know what I mean? And it kind of made me think about a times in my life where I have definitely been a victim, like, oh, poor, woe is me. I had nothing to do with how that situation came to be. And that's just a lie. It's just a lie. It's a lie we tell ourselves all the time. Like, this person did this to me. I was just here, innocent little dove over here. And how could they? It's like, no, whether or not you had a part in the problem, you were still part of the problem, like engaging, like being in that situation, you know, you should probably take yourself out of. Those are all still blamable offenses, right? Like we can blame ourselves for being in that situation. And so funny enough, I think it was 3 days later, I had the wifey mommy meltdown out of nowhere. And I was like, okay, that was fun. And it was just so innocent. Like the thing that happened, I have these insecurities, you know, I think we kind of talked about this a tiny bit in my job. And sometimes it's just stuff. It's stuff I'm working through. It's things I'm trying to get better at. But my point is I had a moment. I couldn't even really define what I was freaking out about. It just was this compilation of things, right? And so the next morning, funny enough, I got onto TikTok. And one of the first like three videos, you know, that I saw was this gal, and she basically just says, you know, the devil is hardest at you in these two times. One, A, you're getting close to God. He knows you're losing you, or B, right before God's about to give you a blessing. So he's trying to distract you from that blessing, to deter you from it, because he wants to take all those things away. And so a day later I talked to Becca and I was like, oh my gosh, had this meltdown, blah, blah, blah. Gave her the whole story. And the first thing you said was, what'd you say, Becca? Welcome to spiritual warfare. And I was like, what? And then that's kind of where we are leading to today. And again, we're not trying to like be super spontaneous and not have anything like prepared, but on the same hand, we're just trying to take real life experiences. And this is how God works. It's always like in the flow, whatever we're going through is going to ultimately impact somebody else. So here we are.
I think it's interesting too, because like I've said, you know, the Lord speaks to me in acronyms. And one of the things that he often will do is break words apart and show me words within those words. Right. And so when Carrie and I, we had the conversation about, like, we didn't cover the Karen stuff enough. Like, we need to really go back and kind of like, just have a conversation around that. And in that conversation is really when we came to this place of like, you know, when we're being a Karen, it's because we're so focused on I'm not getting something. I'm not getting my way. I'm not getting a need met. I'm not getting a want met. And the Lord just kind of like took that word victim and was like, look at victim. Like it ends in I'm. Like, where am I making room for the Father if it literally ends in I'm? Like, I'm the issue. I need to do the work, right? And so, and again, this was over kind of a couple days, you know, Carrie and I talking, and then I told her, I said, you know, and Victor, like, I keep seeing this Victor, like, or, you know, Victor ends in or, O-R. Well, what else? What, or what's the other or I could be looking at? What does that look like for me? And then I think it was yesterday or the day before, I don't remember now, the word valor had kept coming into my spirit. And so I said something to Carrie about it. I was like, I know the word, but like, I don't know the word, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I know, like the army of valor, or what'd she say?
Yeah. Medal of Honor, the Valor Award or whatever. I was like, that's all I can even think of. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, we didn't really know, but I knew again that OR was important because it was repeating itself. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up what valor means, and, I want to share this with you guys, because this is like when the Lord is showing us something, I think often we'll get a piece and then we think, oh, we got it, right? But the word says seek and you will find. So the more I seek, the more I'm going to find on that same subject, right? So I looked up what valor means. Valor is great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle. And so to me, I was like, Carrie, here we are talking about spiritual warfare, and we need to understand to really get through that spiritual warfare, we need valor. That's what we need. We need that courage. We need to know we're in a battle. And you guys, if you are living and breathing on this earth, welcome to the battle.
Right. Which is funny, because remember last week when I was like, oh, I'm going to change what I said a few weeks ago, which, you know, being a Christian, it's easy. And then I went from, no, it's hard. And now I'm back to, yeah, it is. It's a little both, right? There's some days where it's going to feel great. And there's other days where those things out of nowhere are just going to hit you. And you got to pause and look around, take a minute, get in the word, talk to your friends. And then all of a sudden things are going to make sense. They line up. It's like, oh, I wouldn't have caught that on my own, probably, you know what I mean, at this stage in like my walk. But because, funny enough, the TikTok, I mean, just can't believe I'm over here promoting something I was so against, right? But it's got this algorithm, and really God's behind that, right? So like at that time, he knew that's exactly what I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. It put that first little answer, you know, together for me, like, oh, duh. And then the second piece was, you know, speak with your friends and your family. Like, why am I going through that? And I'll be honest, like, usually when I have like one of those kind of meltdown moments, it's not hours. It's like days where I'm in my head, and it's that ugly, like, self-negative talk. And you're just like, you can't do it, or whatever, right? Whatever you're going through, we all do it. Mine would usually last several days. I was, I guess, a little shocked that I'm like, okay, I'm still going to go through those things, but they're going to really shorten, and I'm going to use it for good, right? I'm going to get on here. I'm going to spill my guts and tell everyone, oh, Oh, gee, you have those meltdowns too? Yes, I do. I have them. Sometimes they're just whatever. Maybe they're hormonal half of the time, but it was a shorter duration of being in that ugly yuck, you know?
I think it's interesting too because even last night when, one of the things that Carrie and I both feel very strongly about is doing this in a place of excellence. Like we want to get across what we're feeling and how the Lord is helping us because it has helped us. Like we want people to understand that like he is there with you. So even last night we were talking about things and going over the episodes and we are understanding like we need more of those touch points, like to make sure we're driving home certain things on these episodes, really talking about things. And so last night we were talking about this valor and victor and victory and all these things. And, I kept coming back to that OR, OR, or what is the or? And it was like during the conversation, this it just came out, organic revelation. That is the or that we need when we're sitting in that victim mentality. Because I'm telling you right now, every single one of us battles that mentality to some layer or level. Now, depending upon your trauma, it's going to be different, right? In the work that you've done, right? But every single one of us can sit in that victim mindset. It's in that situation, using the pause and going, okay, what is the organic revelation that I need to get me out of this victim mentality? What is the Lord trying to organically put into me so I don't walk in this anymore? Where is that place that we're being pliable? Like, right? We talked about going through the fire, like the refiner's fire, we're gonna go through that. And these little, even if it's small places of victim, like it doesn't have to be this great big traumatic thing that happened to you for you to get a victim mentality. Like, I believe that there's people out there just because of the households that they were raised in, maybe they had amazing childhood and nothing traumatic ever happened to them. But because the parent was a victim, that spirit still came off on the children, right? So there's these place of battling and understanding, like when the Lord takes us to these things, it's because we've become the organic, right? We are the resolution. We are that, what does this need? And he's needing us to be the overcomer for our family to break that generational curse. And that's part of warfare.
Well, I'm glad you touched on that because we started to talk a little bit about so when we talk about these things, it's personal things we've gone through or it's things we've seen, right? And I can tell you, I've got a handful of people that I know in my whole lifetime that I'm like, wow, you are such a victim. Like, and it's so frustrating to be on the receiving end of somebody's victim mentality because I'm very empathetic, so I kind of take on whatever someone's feeling. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm always in the weeds. My husband said the other day in my little meltdown, he said, I don't think you realize you're the glue. And I was like, what? And he was like, you're the glue. And from a really young age, I can remember people saying to me, like, you should be a counselor. And I really thought that's the direction I would go, right? Didn't want to conform to all the things that required me to be a counselor, but I just thought to myself, oh, you're right. And I mean, and these are just in my circle of friends or my family, right? I do feel like I'm a good listener, but I'm also a good observation, right? I can observe and I'm like, And so that victim mentality, it runs pretty strong through some people. And if you're not surrounded by good family members who can just be like, hey, Becca, sorry, like you're not a victim here. Like it's not poor you. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying be harsh, but I'm just saying sometimes the reality needs to hit somebody smack in the face. Like this didn't happen to you. Your life does not suck because you drew the short end of the straw. It sucks because of the decisions that you have made, the situations that you continue to put yourself in, and the way that you feel entitled to everybody owing you something. That's a victim at its finest. You know what I mean? And so that's something that I think is extremely important to say, like, it's okay to tell somebody that. Like, if you love them, it's okay to say, you know what? I'm actually not helping you right now. Like, I'm actually making this worse by just encouraging you to vent and not make any changes.
I think it's the word I keep like hearing in my mind over and over and over again is victims become weaponized. Like it, that becomes your weapon. That's your weapon is your victimization. So it's like when someone comes at you, you weaponize that victim mentality to then throb at someone else. You sharpen yourself. So when that person comes, you're ready for battle and you're going to make sure you're going to punch them before they get the option. Right. It's almost like I'm seeing it in the spirit. Like there's been people that have been under that spirit. And this is what you guys, this is why I want us to understand. This is spiritual warfare, that it is a spirit that has mentally come in and you've started to come into agreement with everything that spirit is saying. And you're not realizing that you're walking in this. This is that place of saying, thank you, Father. This is the collision. These words right now that you're hearing is the collision that's happening to pull you out of that victim mentality, to let you know you have the courage to get through this. And your courage is found in Jesus. Your courage is found when you hit your face to the floor and can't go no farther, but cry out for the Lord and he meets you there. And I think that often, especially when we've been through things that are traumatic, when we think of Jesus, we sometimes, not purposely, we also put him in that position of he was the one that did it to me. And he allowed it to happen, right? God let it happen. So if there was a God, why did it happen? Right. Like we're touching someone's getting a little bit like, yeah, tell me why did it happen then? Because we live in a corrupt, evil world. And that's why it happened. Not because God wanted it to. But what I can tell you is whatever that trauma was that you were going through in that moment, that Jesus was there with you and mm-hmm. that he stood by you. He went through that trauma with you. He did not leave your side. And if you will find the courage to ask him, Jesus, when this was happening to me, where were you? You will be shocked at what he shows you. You will be shocked at how he still stood guard and things could have been worse, but he was there. And this is those places of saying, I don't want to be a victim, Jesus. I want you to be involved. I want to find my valor in you. I want to find my courage, Jesus, in you. And I know that this stuff that happened to me, you did not want it to happen to me. That was not your plan. But now on the other side of it, how do I put myself back together and walk out as a victor and not a victim?
You know, as you're saying that, I'm just like trying to look back on things in my life and just think like, oh, did I recognize those things when they were happening? I don't think so. I really don't. Now my memory bank is going crazy over here. Like, oh, what the heck? But you touched on something about God meets you where you are. And we have to do that with people. So even when you are dealing with somebody who's got that victim mentality, is it appropriate that I'm like, listen, you did it? No, it's not. Because, and maybe sometimes, maybe it's like you're down to your last kind of straw, but meet them where they are, not where you think they should be or where you want them to be, because it's all a process. If somebody 10 years ago said, I'm done with Carrie because she just can't figure it out. She's living this lukewarm life. She does this. She says that. You know what I mean? She's not consistent in what she's portraying to people. If they would have said that that's it, they'd have given up on me 10 years ago, right? But people didn't. They met me where I am. I'm not saying there wasn't harsh things said. I'm not saying that you know, wasn't slapped around a little bit, like, hey, figure it out, but meet them where they are. So right now, this person, maybe you're friends with, or it's your loved one or your family member, and you're just like, can't you see what I see? No, they can't. They cannot. They don't look at themselves the way that you see them. None of us really do. They don't see the actions and what they're doing. They don't see their part in it. They are, woe is me. You did this to me. I mean, I have people who can remember something I said or did from 1992. And I'm like, really? Because I can't remember what my grocery list is. Like, it, but if you choose to victimize yourself and you choose to hold on to these things, you ought to be embarrassed, to be honest. You should be really embarrassed at most of us are grown adults to ever be able to say, oh, Becca, do you remember 6 months ago when you said da, da, da? I mean, that is ridiculous. You're choosing to live in that negative space, and you are not choosing to forgive or to be understanding, because you are not meeting the person where they are.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting too, like, when I know someone is struggling with something, right? One of the prayer strategies the Lord has given me is, if I know someone is struggling in victim mentality, I get scripture of victory and I speak scripture over that person over and over. Prayer. I send this scripture. I send this scripture. You guys, this is something that I don't believe the church has taught us well enough, like, to stand on scripture. Like, we can say anything all day long, but if I don't have scripture to back it up with, I can't make things move. But if I can find scripture that says, you are an overcomer, you are a victor, you have the victory through Jesus, when you, that person comes to you, I'm not giving them dead words. I'm giving them a living word that is going to pull them out of that thing. So, like, even when I'm struggling with things, if, you know, I try to find the opposite of the scripture. What is, if my finances are struggling, I'm going to find scripture that talks about abundance and giving and tithing and those things, because I want to counteract what my flesh, what my mind is trying to get me to do in the physical with the spirit. And that's, again, this is part of that spiritual warfare of us understanding, okay, if this is, it's like whack-a-mole is really kind of how I feel.
It really, like, that was amazing.
I'm gonna hit it here, but it's gonna come up over here.
Surprise! No, you're so right. That's so crazy. In fact, I just, when you were saying that, I was like, oh, it's funny, because our pastor, in a nudging, gentle way, will say, open your Bibles if you brought them. And I always think, oh shoot, I forgot my Bible, but it's on the screen. But what he's saying to you, again, is don't just be like, somebody tell me. I need to actually do the work and look in it. And listen, guys, we live in this age where all you do is, if you don't know the Bible well enough, which is totally me, you Google it. Where are scriptures that, da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden there's 36 scriptures and you can take, you know, a day, go over a few of them, sit in it. And if you don't understand it, you're going to use Google and you're going to translate. I mean, there's just literally no excuse for us to say we don't understand what the scripture is telling us.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, and it's important, like, it's been only the last, I'm going to say, 5 years that I have understood what it means for it to be a living word. Because what I go through when I read this, what I read 6 months ago isn't the same as what I read today. And it's because my hunger has changed. My focus has changed, right? I'm in a different area or a different season. So this, for these words to physically never change, but to constantly change and shift me, that's what this is talking about being a living word. This is why it's important to not just understand the scriptures, but to know, like, oh, my season of standing on that scripture, okay, now I need to move it to this scripture. Now I need to move here. You know, they talk about knowing the seasons in the word. It talks about, it's called the Issachar anointing, is what it's a knowing of the seasons. This is where the prophets and those things come in. But you as a person, if you will sit with the Lord, you will get that knowing. You will know the season you are in. You will know when the Lord is saying, guess what? I've been showing you moving boxes for 2 years. It's going to be time to move. Like whatever those things are. Now, does that mean you're going to know what it is? Does it mean that it's not going to scare you? All those things are going to happen. I'm not saying they're not, but he's constantly, thank you, Father. He's constantly nudging us to be the best we can be. And I say that in a way, because I want us to understand, like, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about Jesus, and we talk about God, I feel that God has got this rap of like this big bad wolf, right? But I want us to understand he's a gentleman. The Lord is a gentleman. And if we're not ready to deal with something, as even in my own trauma, there's been areas I'm not ready to deal with. Now, will he show them to me and say, maybe we should look at this? And I'll say, yeah, I know we should, but can we tomorrow?
Like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready today.
I'm not ready. And it's okay to be not ready. It's okay to say, I know I need to do that, but I don't have the bandwidth yet, Jesus. I need your valor. I need your courage to do this and to slowly go through these things, because I can tell you it is layers. I honestly feel it's layers when we talk about God, because the same scripture from 3 years ago, you know, as it is in heaven, everything that Alive and All stands on is from that scripture. As it is in heaven, shall it be on earth, right? Now, I still believe that scripture, but I'm also standing on other scripture. I can't stay just in that one thing and work the scriptures.
Well, because it's safe. If you just stay right where you're going to, you know, right where you're planted, oh, everything was really good this day. I'm going to stay right in this moment. You're not growing. And so people are going to watch this podcast and it's going to affect each one of us differently. Us talking about it is different than the person listening to it or the person who shares it. Same thing goes to church, right? When you're sitting there in the pew, how many times do you think to yourself, oh, God literally told Pastor so-and-so what I needed to hear. And every person in that room feels it differently. That's what, when you're saying that this is a living word, it's because it, I don't want to say it recreates itself, but in a way it kind of recreates itself for everyone's situation. Mm-hmm. Tell me a book or anybody who can do that to you.
Come on. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And so it's like, that's bananas to me. Like it's going to, I'm so excited to hear what somebody takes from this and then shares, right? Because we want you guys to share these things with us. We want to experience them with you. We want to help in any way that we can by just saying, hey, could you touch on this? Or, oh, what I heard, you know, when you were talking, this is what I heard. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, that's, I didn't even think about that, but that's growth. When you are actively trying to grow stronger in your relationship with God, it will change your perspective on everything. Everything.
It amazes me how you start seeing him show up in things that like you missed before, like in the grocery store, like just totally missed Jesus, but he's been there the whole time. Like, I'm like, oh wow. We really miss a lot of things.
Yeah. And again, it's just circumstances change. And I mean, there's a lot. I look back to, well, this is our second move to Arizona. I think most people who know me know that the first was me. But it was interesting because, A, people thought I was crazy for having my parents, you know, live in our home. First of all, I get it. It's not for everybody, you know. But I do believe that I would not be where I am right now if they weren't here. And then, again, I have a great relationship with my parents. I'd see them all the time. You know, I go over and visit. We talk on the phone. But when you are underneath the same roof with somebody and you're going through things that you could hide before, like maybe I wouldn't have shared everything because whatever, you know, whatever the circumstances are, you do see God in ways that I never did before. Didn't think I'd ever step foot back into church ever. Mm-hmm. Just thought, you know what? That's not for me. I'm going to do it this way. It's like my parents were like, oh, we're heading to church. I'm like, A little bit of guilt would start to kick in. I was like, you know, maybe. And then again, with you, it's like just bringing those things together and something I would have heard a year ago, just, I can't even explain the difference in how I would see that. You know what I mean? I see every single situation I'm in right now as an opportunity. I have never, ever in my life looked at things like that. And talk about courage. Girl, I'm like the most nitpicky person on myself. And I have watched our podcast back and been like, I mean, there's a couple of things where I'm like, wow, that was super cheesy, Carrie. Good job. But for the most part, I was like, I'm so proud of us. And I didn't pick apart all these things and maybe I didn't have every single word perfectly, but I like had courage to do this. And God is showing me that this is exactly what he wanted us to do, because our stories and our talking is helping somebody. It's helping us too. Yeah. You know, we don't even know that. You know what I mean? It's helping us get it all out.
What I love too is the fact, like, your mom is getting to see the word work, right? And as I say that because in the word, it says, if you raise up your children accordingly, they will come back to me, right? And so literally your mom is watching your walk, it be ignited with Jesus. And not like a walk like when of the past, like she knows, like, she is firsthand seeing you lit on fire for the Lord. Like, to me as a mom, to think like my, to know what it would be like to see my kids do that, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a generational blessing, mm-hmm. quite literally, that we're literally seeing come through in this family. And again, this is that place, the word can't return void, right? It wouldn't have mattered if it was 5 years from now. Because her mom stands and believes on scripture, no matter what it's looked like. And I'm not saying Carrie's had this wild life. That's not what I'm saying, right? But her mom is literally seeing this scripture. Her mom is literally seeing, like, I've prayed for 47 years for Miss Carrie, right? She is seeing this scripture play out in Carrie's life. And not just like in Carrie's life, she's seeing Carrie step into places of going, no, mom, I want to tell more people. More people need to know God is real like this. Not what I thought he was, but he is actually tangible and real.
Yeah. I'm happy for my mom, and I'm not gloating on me, guys, because like I think this is amazing for anybody, you know what I mean, to just see somebody change so drastically. And I want that for every single parent. But I gotta tell you, like, we are judged. Our job as parents is to do what? Is to raise our children upright. And we don't do it great, guys. Like, there's not one parent out there who's going, yeah, I got it all together. I did everything right. My child's perfect. Da, da. Even the ones that look perfect, it's not, right? But you can change that, right? Mm-hmm. You can change that when your children, who are going to be kids for the most part, are disrespectful, or they're not respecting, you know, others, or, you know, just all the yuckiness, right? You can still change it even when they're adults. You still have that power by saying, hey, here's this line. I ain't crossing it with you. If you go past this line, you do not get to have me in your life in this capacity. However, I'm not going to hold you to that and say you're never coming back, because if you do that, you're not meeting them where they are. Meet your children, even your grown adult children, where they are. Be patient and pray about it. And you're right. It will. It will come full circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And kudos to my grandma and my aunts. I mean, they all prayed for us growing up. That's the only reason none of us are 6 feet under.
Well, it's, I think,
I mean, let's be honest.
That is important. Like, we have intercessors. Like, you, that's what standing in the gap is, right? We have to understand when we talk about standing in the gap, what is gap? Guaranteed approval prior. When I'm standing in that gap, I'm saying, I'm believing that this person is going to be in heaven with me. I'm standing in the gap. I'm taking the guaranteed approval prior to them getting it and saying, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to believe. Even when they're out doing the crazy things that they're not supposed to be doing, I'm standing in the gap for that person. I'm believing for that person. What I love is often we talk about, there's sometimes this fear of coming back to the Lord or like coming back into church. And if you're feeling that, I want to encourage you, because this word right here talks about a prodigal son that when he came home, the father met him and took off his ring and put it back on his son's hand. He took off his clothes and put it on his son, not because he had to, but because the love of a father was so much there. He didn't care how much time had passed since he had been home. He didn't care what he had done when he was not under that protection and authority. What mattered to him was this place of saying, this is my son. This is my daughter. And when they come back, it is a celebration. It does not matter what you have done. It does not matter what you think is going to hold you from Jesus. Jesus knows everything you have done, will do, or have even thought about. So the fact of thinking that he's not going to be there and meet you, he's already in front of you. He's waiting for the robe. He's waiting to wrap that robe around you. He's waiting to put your ring on you and embrace you, saying, I'm not looking at what you've done. I'm looking at my son and my daughter, and I love you, and this is what we do moving forward.
So you just said something about, it was really good. I'm going to have a brain fart here. But you were talking about not seeing that God is already in front of us, right? And so earlier I was like, oh, I'm sure that I can look back on my life and go, oh, yeah, God was there. God was in that moment. But until you're kind of changing and you're walking closer with God, I don't think you really have the full like ability to see that. You know what I mean? So we look back. I mean, I'm going to tell a story, just again, the moving here and just like all the things Becca knows. Like we were like, oh, we're moving, you know, back to Arizona. We're doing this. And I have this great job, and it's going to give me the things I need to pay the bills and start this business and yada, yada, yada. 7 months in, I was like, this is a train wreck. Like, this is literally the worst thing possible. Not even thinking that God already had the out from he already had it played out. It's okay that this didn't work out the way that I wanted to. I still learned things. I still gathered something from it, but not fearing that it won't be taken care of. And I still think I'm learning that even today. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I really... I say it, you know, like we talk about this, like I grasp it, but I think it doesn't really show true like growth until you see it before it happens, kind of a thing. I never saw that before. I just like, yeah, lucky me.
Right. And I think it's interesting that as it's like more time we get under our belt, then we start to recognize it quicker, but it's not like you're going to see that right away. Like I'm just like, and anyone who says, oh yeah, I knew right away. Blah,
no, you didn't.
I don't think I really buy all that. So you guys get to hear my dogs. Sorry. the joys of well, Christmas break and package delivery and all the things that happen. Right.
Real life.
This is what it is. It is what it is. Okay. So I want to talk about a story that's in the Bible. Because one of the things that is important to this podcast, important to both Carrie and I, is that we're encouraging you guys to get into your word and to back things up, just like we've talked about with scripture. This is how, again, then we have a point, what is that? A checkpoint, you know, like almost like, okay, well, this is going on. Is there something similar that happened in the word? Like if it's happening to me, I'm going to say there's probably something in the word similar to it that's going to happen. Right. Yeah. I did not understand parables. Right. So I think that this is one thing that we need to talk about. You know, when you start to fall in love with Jesus, okay, and that's the easiest way I know it to be, those stories and those parables that did not make sense before, all of a sudden do. So if you are struggling reading your word, right, and you've tried different translations and you're still in that place where you're like, I don't, like, there's still something happening, I want to encourage you, it's a heart posture. I want you to get out of this place of going, this mentally does not make sense to me. And I want you to try reading from your heart. Try reading from those places where maybe you are tender. Maybe that is a victim place, but that is the place where the Lord is trying to weed and get you into the new, right? And we cannot grow something new without weeding and without pruning. So if you think that you're going to produce this amazing fruit without weeding or pruning, I'm here to give you shears today.
Shears that come in the form of some tough love.
Yes, and the word.
Oh, okay. And by the way, I'm joining the Can't Read Anymore group. So just, yeah, that's fun.
Isn't it amazing? Like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Great.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so I am reading out of the Message translation today. So this is a little bit, I call this my farmer language Bible because I feel like it's very much like, reaping, sowing, plowing, all things around farming. So as I was preparing, though, this is the one that I felt drawn to today. So this is what I'm going to read. We're going to read from John 8, and it's called To Throw the Stone, is the like chapter heading in my word. Jesus went across to Mount Olives, but he was soon back in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The religious scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight for everyone and said, "Teacher, this woman has caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. I want to pause here real quick, because when we're talking about a victim mentality, when you're in that place and you're targeting someone else, what you're trying to do is get them into that place of to incrimination. You're trying to incriminate them into doing what you're trying to, what you want, right? The other thing I want to touch on this is it says that they found her in the act of adultery. Now, from the little bit of the Chosen and Passion of Christ that I have seen, I can't imagine that those Roman soldiers were like, "Hey, we're going to turn our back and let you get dressed." Right? To me, I'm thinking they literally pulled her out by the hair of her head and threw her naked in front of a whole crowd. So like, I want us to have this place of, pretty sure she could have said she was victimized, right? Like, yeah. Pretty sure that would probably traumatize me if I was in the middle of, even if it was doing something I knew I wasn't supposed to, let's be honest, right? If someone came in, caught me, that's going to be scary enough. I know the penalty is death. Now I'm being naked, thrown in front of the whole town. I'm going to be a little scared. I'm in the middle of, we're in the middle of seeing her be victimized. Okay. Right. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him, badgering him. He straightened up and said, "The sinless one among you go first. Throw the stone." Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her. "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?" "No, master, neither do I," said Jesus. "Go on your way from now on and don't sin." I want us to understand, these are the things that stuck out. The victimization, where she was in, they tried to incriminate him, right? But I had heard this pastor this last year speak on this message, and he was the one, like, he gave us that revelation, like, you guys, she's not prim and proper. They didn't give her time to put herself back together, okay?
Yeah.
But also, what was Jesus writing in the dirt? What could he possibly have been writing that caused them to walk away? And so I was like, okay, what were those things? Maybe he was writing out the things that he knew those people had done. And as he was writing those things in the dirt, as he was writing those things out, those people that had those stones, they seen what he wrote in that dirt, and they had to set down their stone to throw, because they knew, right, that they were going to play into victim, someone being a victim, right? But if they played in, they knew they were going to be held accountable. I think that this is important when we see people in this victim mindset. If we don't help them, give them the tools, give them the knowledge to help them get through those things, we're held accountable. Now, we give them those tools and they do nothing with it, we did our part, right? But we have to at least give the tools. Now, I say all this to say this simple truth. When you are feeling victimized, I want you to pause and write it down. Write it in the dirt. Are you being victimized over things of the past that you can't let go? And God is saying, you can't throw these stones anymore. These are not your stones to throw anymore. And everything that you write down is a stone that someone wanted to throw at you, or that you threw at yourself. And instead of incriminating yourself into those things, I want you to know the Lord is saying, now go, give me these things. I'm gonna take these stones. No one's gonna throw these stones at you, and go about your business and sin no more.
So I hear judgment, I hear victim, I hear forgiveness. So those are all those things we've been talking about, and funny that it all kind of weaves itself together. So when Beck and I talk about these podcasts, sometimes it's like, don't get too strategic in like plotting things out, because you need to like let things just kind of go. We didn't talk about this, but you read that, you gave your insight to that, and then I took what I heard from that and was like, wow, we've literally just talked about these things. You know what I mean? Like,
so what I'm hearing is you just experienced organic revelation. Right? Like, literally, we're seeing it play out firsthand. We're seeing, you know, yeah, guess what? There's going to be things that happen, even in this podcast, my son coming in and needing something, right? Like, it's constant. This is life. But it doesn't mean that just because I got detoured for a minute that we didn't pull back into what was important. And this is those things of like, you can get detoured for a minute in your victimization, that mentality. But Carrie and I are here saying, hey, we're here to pull you back in. We want you to come out of that.
Yeah. Just don't stay in that moment. You know what I mean? Like, we always say, like, we're not perfect. We're going to fall. Like, I'm going to totally jack this up. A pastor the other day said, what is being a Christian like? And it is stumbling and getting back up, stumbling and getting back up, stumbling and getting back up, falling and getting back up, all of those things. So don't pretend that it's easy all the time. Some days you're going to say, this is easy and it was great. And I did all the things. I checked every box and I feel content. And then other days are going to be like, I had a total meltdown and somebody bring me back in, because it's the stumble, get back up, stumble, get back up. And if you stay down, you will have a harder time getting back up. You know, it'll be 3 to 5 days when you have those moments, or it'll be a few hours.
Yeah. Well, and it's important, like, as you're saying that, I just keep hearing eye soldier, eye soldier. Eye soldier is, yes, obviously founded on the armor, but it's that Proverbs that talks about, if you fall 7, you get up 8. If I fall down 9, I'm getting up 10. If I fall down 382, I'm getting up 383, right? Yeah. In this place of understanding, we have to have tenacity. We have to have a wherewithal, right? But that wherewithal, this friction place, that's where Jesus is. We're not here to feel the friction. We're here to see it, understand it, and go, okay, but my buffer's there. I have the Lord there in that place. So now I can stay focused on what I need to do because he's buffering that for me.
Yeah. This is just fair warning that spiritual warfare and victimization it's going to propel into all these different conversations. I mean, we were talking just a little bit about our next podcast, and it's like, it's going to probably continue to be like a theme because this is real life. Like, this is when those things do happen. What we're talking about today is it being the victim and like recognizing that you have to have accountability for your own kind of wherewithal, like where you're at. But there also is another piece of it, right? It's like, it's going to be the financial piece or your marriage or your relationships or your jobs. Like, you can't always have gotten the wrong job, people. Like, you might be the consistent person in that story. You know what I mean? Like, you might be the problem, and we don't like to see ourselves the problem. We want to see everybody else the problem, because then what? We to blame, and we don't have to be accountable for our own actions. Who likes to do that? Except for when you are trying to walk and you are putting these things into play every day, you're getting in the Word and you're surrounding yourself by good, you know, good, honest Christian people who want the best for you. It's a little easier. You know what I mean? It's a little easier. Today is easy. Tomorrow might not be, but today feels easy. So you're going to hear us talk about this, I think, over the next several weeks, because I think it's a really big thing that we miss a lot. Just not pausing. I mean, just you saying that 2 weeks ago, I have found myself pausing in more situations than I ever have in my entire life. And I'll tell you, my husband is going to kill me for telling everybody this, but there's a violation that happens when someone wrongs you, whether you know them or you don't. Okay. And I'm the one. Rick is very calm and just mild and like doesn't, I think you have to do a lot to really make him not like you, where I'm very much like, hey, you get one strike and I might cut you off, right? But long story short, he got scammed this last week. And you go through these weird emotions when that happens to you. Like, first of all, you're just so mad, like, that you didn't catch it. And so I'll make the story short, but long story short, I guess. He got an email, looked like it was coming from his athletic director for the school that he coaches at. Ended up being a scam. He went out, got some gift cards in the lovely amount of $600, and did all the things. But after we found out, like, what had happened, I was the calm one. I was like, who possessed my body? Because he was so upset and so frustrated and like angry. And I was like, listen, it sucks. I want the $600 back. I don't exactly have just this like endless amount of money that it doesn't affect me, but it did affect me differently. One, I was thankful that it did not stop me from paying my bills. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, okay, this is terrible. And I don't like that it happened to me, but I'm glad it happened to me and not somebody else who could not have paid their bills because of losing that $600. I have not always been in that situation, and I'm not rich, guys. Like, I'm not saying I don't need it. I do. It just didn't cripple me in that moment. But I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to pray for him. As hard as it's going to be, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to stand in the belief that God has got my back, and whatever just happened, he will take care of, and I will get that back. What, how many times back? How many times do I get that back? What's stolen from you?
Pressed down, shaken together, 10 times.
10 times. So I'm getting that back 10 times. So I'm just waiting. But it's that, I'm not sure this is the right word. The blind belief, which I have always said is ridiculous. Like, I'm like, I'm a realist. I'm not a person who's just like, oh, yeah, I'll be fine. But I do have to say, I'm different. I'm standing on that I know that the God I serve is not going to take that away from me. I'm going to get it back. He just wants to see that I'm sitting in that and I'm saying, you know what? Hey, it's all on you. It's fine. Like, take it, do with it. And I haven't, other than telling you this story, haven't even really thought about it.
Well, and it's a place of, again, going, okay, you could have kept it about yourself, right? The I'm, look what I'm doing, right? Look what happened to us, right? But it wasn't. It was like, okay. And you paid attention to the timing of it, right? Like, we're just rolling out this podcast. Do you not think that the enemy is going to try, like, any little bump, hitch, or giddy up? And he's really going to always do it around our insecurities, right? So, like, those things that we struggle with, right? No matter if it's big or small. So one of the places I always get hit is in the finances. Like, I've accepted it. I know it. And I keep saying, like, one day I'm going to be a billionaire, because the way the enemy comes at my finances, like, he knows once Becca gets some money, we're doing something great for the kingdom, right? But it's recognizing that thing and going, I'm not going to be a victim through this. And if anything, it's going to fuel my fire to do more for the Lord now. So thank you, enemy. And it's this place of going, okay, now that we have that revelation, I know it sounds wackadoo, but I'm telling you, once the enemy understands that no matter what he throws at you, you go to Jesus, he stops throwing stuff at you. Like, and he's going to try to throw, he's going to try to get stuff to stick, but eventually it's like a little kid, mom, right? Eventually they either stop asking, right? Or they know, I can't ask mom that again, because I'm not getting the response that I used to get. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's part of that victim mentality too, is what is the response? Your body physically, if you're in victim mentality, your body physically is used to that. So you're going to feel uncomfortable. Your body is going to fight against, you know, I've battled areas of depression and anxiety. And when you go through that, your physical body will tell you to stay in bed and not want you to get out of bed. This is that place of putting where the rubber hits the road, going, guess what, spirit man? I don't care what my body says. I'm in control over my body. I tell my body what to do. Get up, go, do those things. But again, it's that, and that's warfare, guys, that all of that is warfare, that place of grind.
Well, we live amongst demons. You know what I mean? Like, we live amongst that in this world. And so, and I have done the same thing. I would say that I've had crippling anxiety over things, but it usually starts with that self-negative talk. And then, you know, it just spirals out of control. But that is a demon. Anxiety and mental health, all those things, those are demons that at some point you have invited into your life. And I'm not saying, like, oh, I said, oh, hey, come and get me, right? But by the doings of what we do every single day, sometimes you are inviting that kind of thing into your life. You know what I mean? So I kind of would challenge everybody, including Becca and I, is to look back on these things that are triggers for you, that are trauma that you haven't dealt with, that are forgiveness that you haven't given. I challenge you to look back and ask yourself, why? Why can't I get past this point? What am I not doing? Because you're not doing something, because you're still stuck in it, right? So what can I, the control that I have, right? I go to the Lord and I say, what can I do? Help me through this. I am lost. I am sad. I am broken. Fix me. I challenge you to look back and go, where were you at? You know, where was that, the doing of you? Like, where were you not a victim? This was actually something you had kind of control over. And that's not easy to do. And you might just sit there and not like yourself for a minute, because the reality is, like, we all do these things. You know what I mean? But I challenge you to look back and go, what could I have done different? And then learn from it. And then let's move on.
I think too, like, and one of the things that Carrie and I, when we were discussing this, is like, it is kind of like we're probably going to touch on this stuff again through the next few episodes, right? And one of the things that when we were talking about spiritual warfare is this understanding of coming out of generational curses and going into generational blessings. And so as we're wrapping up, like, I really feel that's probably our next episode is, okay, we're coming out of this victim mindset, right? We've got the valor, we're getting the victory. How now do I understand that in that warfare, ultimately what's happening is I'm removing those generational curses and I'm anchoring in generational blessings. And you guys, like, we're still figuring it out. We don't know. I just know that if the word talks about generational curses, that must mean that there's generational blessings, because the enemy counterfeits everything, right? So if his part is the curses, where are the blessings? Because those are the things that we want to tap into and leave those for generations yet to come. You know, my grandma, I know my grandma was a praying grandma, right? My grandmother was an orphan, right? She was an orphan. So for in two generations, for us to have these whole families in homes like that, we took a curse and turned it into a blessing, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one thing that we need to look at is, what was the curses that past generations had to overcome so I could walk in the blessing I do today, right? Like, wow. If that person wouldn't have done that, would I really be sitting where I'm sitting today? And so we're going to dig into those kinds of things, you know, coming out of generational curses, you know, embracing generational blessings. And through that, I feel like that's where then we're going to get into like the finances and the different things that come as we're releasing one thing and anchoring in another.
Love it.
Love it. Okay. All right, guys. So I'm going to pray us out. I hope that this has made sense to you guys, that it's resonated, that you're walking away with organic revelation over places of your own victim mentality, right? We all have this. And so as we're wrapping up, ask yourself the or. Where is your organic revelation? Where is it? What is that place that the Lord is trying to give you revelation around, and not revelation that Carrie and I gave you, not revelation that came from a book, but organic. It came from within you, and the Father is wanting you to work on that thing. Carrie, do you have anything in wrapping up?
No, that was awesome.
Okay, so here we go. So I'm going to pray us out. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for each and every person that will come across this episode. Father, we thank you that you are our valor, Father, and that our courage when we are in that face of battle, Father, comes from you. And through that is where we become the victor. Father, I thank you that you are walking us into a victorious season over our families, over our finances, over our homes, our entrepreneurial ideas. That, Father, this is a season of saying victory over everything that we touch. I thank you for each and every person that comes across this episode broadcast. Father, I pray that it gives them organic revelation of what they need, and that they can stop and ask themselves, or is there something I'm missing? We thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, this has been episode 3. We did it. 3 of Colliding Conversations, Changing Perspectives, Damage Free.